This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Woo-hoo. Woohoo! We made it! Woohoo! Woo.
Yeah, 100 shows. We even got a nice card.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sheprick with a pass left corner, head open three for the tie. Good! Riley Head knocks down a three!
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
It's over! The Bullpups have knocked off Bishop the Age! 62 McPherson, 58 the Age in overtime!
Everything happening in the sports world. And even some things not happening in the sports world.
We've got a little lemon cheesecake.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM, KBBE, or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me today, as always, a bubbly, vivacious, inspirational Mr. Steve Sell. Steve, good to have you in.
And special day today.
It's a really special day.
Very special day today.
We've got a really special day. We get to be joined in studio today by McPherson High Girls state champion coach Chris Strathman. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks
it's
for having me.
It's different than the Saturday morning coaches show, huh?
A little bit. This is big time right here.
This
is
a little better
real
when
big
he says
time.
State champion. Basketball coach Chris Strathman. That has a nice ring to it.
Yeah, well, there's worse labels you could have.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, today we have you in here because we want to talk about a state championship season. And we can talk about some other things, too. We can talk about politics. We can talk about the State of the Union. We can do all that. But we'll save that for another day. But we want to talk a little bit about this season as a recap. I kind of want to walk through the state tournament and spend some detailed time on that. Talking about the state championship game, and then talk about some of the postseason awards that'll be coming through, as well as even take a look ahead to next year. I know it's weird to start looking ahead a little bit when it's March and things won't start rolling until November, but first, how's your bracket doing?
My bracket is horrible. Horrible. When you pick Virginia as your title winner, even though they're offensively challenged, that was a mistake on my part. Obviously, them going out in the first round, but
how many of your Final Four you have left?
Duke and Villanova.
Okay.
That's it. My other two were Virginia and North Carolina. So
yeah, I had Carolina too, but I had Kentucky. So they're hanging in there for me. They're kind of my, superstar right now.
Was Steve well-mannered when you watched the game with him, the KU game on Saturday?
Yeah, he was more well-mannered than I thought he would be. I know he can be pretty hard on his Jayhawks.
What's the phrase that you've called him before? The pessimistic prognosticator?
Yeah, I'm the one that labeled Steve with that. But that's mainly with the KU stuff.
Yeah,
well, but it is basically KU. And I am an alum. I give money to the school every year. I expect results.
Exactly.
So if I'm giving my hard-earned money going to KU, they better produce for me.
Well, Coach Strathman, the reason we have you in here today is we want to talk about a state championship season. And we'll get into it in a little bit, talking about the entire state tournament. But I wanted to start off just kind of from the beginning. And what I was telling Steve the other day is that I've been going back and editing some audio from all of the games and all of our game tape and kind of listening to some things that we were talking about back in December, back in late November. And the whole idea for us going into that was that this team is going to have a really good chance. And you've talked about the progression of the way you saw the seniors' career going and how this was the year that you were thinking it could happen. But the thing that they needed was some of the younger players to step up. Some of the sophomores, some of the juniors, and especially with Mandy Cooks not beginning the season playing, you knew that the first half of that season could be a little slow to start. But the thing that kind of makes it cool is that it wasn't. And that from the very beginning, people stepped up into roles and delivered results from game one through game 24.
Yeah, it was obviously a special start to a great season. You know, pre-Christmas, we came out and scored 95 against El Dorado right off the bat. And like, okay, well, we can put the ball in the basket, which we knew. And then game two, I thought, was a big turning point. I mean, you know, that's against Derby at home. State runner-up in 6A from the prior year, and we're going against a 6'6 girl without Mandy. I thought our girls battled their butts off that game, especially inside with our interior defense, and did everything we could. I thought that set the tone for the year. I really did. And I know the game after that we lost up at Miege, but, man, we battled and took them down to the wire there too. So I thought our kids gained a ton of confidence from that week playing those two teams, those very strong teams that well. And it just whirled from there.
And if you look at the eventual, Derby ends up winning 6A, and then yep. You play Miege for 5A. That's quite a week of games right there.
Oh, it was incredible. So it was a lot of prep work just for, you know, game two and game three of the regular season. That's very unusual. But, you know, forced us to be on top of our game earlier than normal too. So we're as on top of our game as we possibly could be at that time of year anyway.
I thought Cassie Cooks really showed a lot early in the season, stepping in for her sister. She knew there was, you know, a lot on her. But I really thought she made light years improvement. And it started at the beginning. I mean, she got better as the year went on, but she was pretty good at the start of the year. I thought she was better than maybe we expected at the start of the year.
Well, I knew that Cassie would be okay offensively. The only time that she had struggled would be against length, which obviously Derby had, and a couple of other teams we faced. But, you know, she shot about 60% from the floor this year, so she knows how to finish. She got the nod starting lineup. Because of her offensive ability, you know, as far as Maggie Leaf and a couple of the other posts that we had, a couple of them may have been a little bit ahead of Cassie defensively, but we needed some offense, I thought, at the beginning, and Cassie was able to provide that inside for us.
And you mentioned Maggie Leaf, the thing Jim and I used to say every game. She always makes one big play every game that you remember, and she just knew her role. She knew what she could do, what she couldn't do, and she just concentrated on doing the things that she knew she could do well.
Well, you talk about kids playing within themselves, playing within and understanding their limitations, and that's Maggie. We could count on her for whatever we asked her to do, and she would absolutely do her best to get that done, as a lot of our kids would. But Maggie definitely embraced that role and had a great season for us.
We're joined in studio today by girls basketball coach Chris Strathman, and we're going back through this 2017-2018 season. You mentioned the Miege game from the third game of the year, December the 8th, up in Kansas City. I don't know if this is going to come out right, but maybe that game, I think the final score is 59-51, is that right?
That's correct.
Something along that. I think that game in December, for a team at that point that was still pretty young, the stage might have been just a little too big, where there were a couple of moments that didn't go your way, but you could tell that was a learning point for that season. And I think that from that moment on, you saw a lot of really good things out of that game. Everybody got better. And I think you hit on Cassie Cooks really doing well from the beginning, but I think that game was the one that sort of showed her, hey, this is what some of the best defenders in the state look like. I know I can score on them. And then she continued to do that throughout the rest of the year. I think that was the game that obviously you said everybody went, okay, we can compete with everybody. And I think that's the moment that everybody figured it out. And from that moment on, it's pretty clear since there were zero losses from then.
Yeah, that was big for us to go on the road and compete against them like that. And when we put them on the schedule a couple of years ago, it was like, you know, this is going to be challenging. But I think that turned out to be golden for us because our kids got more and more comfortable against Miege each time we played them. They drilled us last December at our place. We were very competitive, obviously, in the state title game. Very competitive last season. And then in December on the road at their place without Mandy, competed like crazy. And I thought we just gained confidence every time we played them. And that helped us so much just a couple weeks ago, too, because we knew we could beat them. We really did. Knew we could beat them. We just had to do the right things.
The other interesting thing that you were talking about, the pre-Christmas break portion of the schedule, is that the last three games before Christmas break, not including Winfield, when you guys won 72-10, against Abilene, it wasn't incredibly sharp. That was a team that kind of uglied things up a little bit. Then the Andover game right before the break, you didn't finish all that well in that game. You turn around after the break and play Bueller, and that game wasn't as easy as it could have been. But I told you a few weeks ago, I thought the game that changed everything and really gave everybody that confidence, besides Miege, was the Circle game. Going on the road to Circle, who had been undefeated at that time, and they have their D1 prospects out there on the floor, and you guys put it to them. And I think that might have been the moment, coming after Christmas break, getting all of that out of your system, that everybody said, okay, buckle up, it's time to go. I don't know if you felt the same way about that.
Well, I did. And to give you a little bit of the coaching perspective on that, you know, is one thing about having Derby and Miege so early is that it forced our learning curve to be very steep, which meant that a couple of kids that were new to our program, I can mention Emma Ruddle and Grace Pyle as far as being on varsity, their heads were spinning. I didn't know how much I could really trust them in those environments, to be honest. That's just being totally honest. And that's, you know, I didn't want to put them in tough spots in those types of games. So, you know, then those last few games before Christmas, the first couple games out of Christmas, we were starting to blend them in a little bit more, trying to get them a little bit more comfortable for down the stretch. And I think some of our struggles at that time, even though we were winning, I think some of our struggles were the fact that some of our players maybe could kind of sense that some roles were beginning to change. Some playing time was beginning to change, and people could just kind of see that and feel it. And those were just some things that we were trying to figure out as a staff. What was going to be our best team by the time we got to midseason and February and postseason, and we had to get that figured out. And so I think that was some of our struggles leading up to that Circle game. But Circle game, we all played very well and just put it to them. It was awesome.
And it had to be kind of difficult because 1 through 12, all 12 of your girls can play.
All 14.
14.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about state and, you know, where you had to go 12. But 1 through 14, and you even had a couple freshmen who probably could have played an awful lot, been the starting backcourt for maybe El Dorado or Winfield or somebody like that. And trying to figure that playing time out, that was no easy task because it was almost like you looked at the situation. You said, well, who's going to work better in this situation? Better have them on the floor. So that for you, that was really quite a challenge because you knew you had girls that probably deserved more playing time, but you just there's not enough minutes. If it was a 48-minute game like the NBA, it'd be great, but it's only a 32-minute game.
Yeah, there's not enough minutes to play 14. You know, there's definitely games that we probably could have played some more kids and didn't. But like I said, we had – you know, big picture things in mind the whole year, especially from after Christmas and beyond, that we wanted to have those kids ready when we needed them to be ready that we thought could give us the best chance to win. So
then you got to the Mid-America Classic. You get to the middle of or the end of January, and everything's starting to take shape. You take on Shawnee Mission South. Don't play a great game, but put them away and make it easy. Then you play Olathe South, my old nemesis, and we kept harping on the fact they hadn't lost here at the Mid-America Classic, and that was another game that after you got Mandy back that week, you could tell, okay, things are rolling here. The Manhattan game against a very good Manhattan team that played a pretty solid second game of that tournament. They weren't great against Shawnee Mission Northwest. They were a state tournament qualifier. The Manhattan game was that big game that gave you that state tournament, state championship feel. And the thing that I really liked about that week is that you never felt like the moment was too big for them and that they stepped into that role. They step into the fourth quarter against Manhattan and finish. And Mandy Cooks plays her best game of the season in the second half of that one. And I think that once you got there, you knew what was going to happen the month of February. But once you got through that Mid-America Classic, I think that probably you, Steve, myself, we were thinking, okay, this team's ready to go. I don't know if that was the same thing you thought, too.
Well, I knew we were going to have a great chance at it. You know, after beating Olathe South by 25, I think, and then Beating Manhattan by 9. You know, at one time we're up by 18. They made a good run back at us and cut it to maybe 8 or 7 or something like that. But what I was so pleased about our team in that tournament was blending Mandy back in and seeing what she could do, especially on the third night of 3 games in a row. How well she played against Manhattan was just phenomenal. But also, our kids did not get rattled at all. When a great team like Manhattan made a run at them, we knew it was going to happen. I thought our kids showed tremendous poise, and that showed me a lot, too. That you know, we should be in the lead a lot, and we're going to have to battle when teams make runs at us. And that night proved that we'd be able to handle things.
And I want to go back to Olathe South. We kind of saw it on the first day that they weren't quite the Olathe South team they'd been, but it's that mental hurdle you had to clear when you played Olathe South. And it was pretty evident early, though, that you were in control of that game. But just getting over the mental hurdle, them never having lost in the Mid-America Classic, I think it was as much mental as it was physical that game.
It definitely was. I mean, our kids were very excited to play them. I think they knew they had a great chance this year with the players that Olathe South had lost, and obviously with the kids that we had coming back. But still in the back of your mind, it's like, you know, we've never beat them.
Yeah,
we reminded you of that a lot.
just a few times. But so, you know, our kids came out and played great that night and just defended like crazy. I know Olathe South is very frustrated. I know Manhattan was very frustrated, especially mid-third quarter until they went on their run. So defensively at that time here, we were really starting to put things together too.
We're joined in studio today by McPherson High girls coach Chris Strathman. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, it's time to talk about the postseason run that the Bullpup girls made and the way that they got to playing for the state championship a little less than 2 weeks ago. We're back after this. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Calabrese Heating and Cooling, Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Farmer State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
We're back in on today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE, or for those of you listening online, midkansasonline.com. Steve, if somebody wants to go back and listen to this show on podcast, because I'm sure they're going to want to, as we're joined in studio by McPherson High girls coach Chris Strathman, where do they go? SoundCloud.com/KBBE Sports. Look at that. It's a well-oiled machine.
That's I can remember the last part. I don't remember all that other stuff, but I can
By show number 110 or whatever you're on,
there
Steve,
you go.
I'm very impressed.
He's on top of it. Coach Strathman is a loyal listener to the show, and every now and then he'll text in whenever we can't think of something, and he tries to be anonymous sometimes, but Steve will, he'll blow his cover.
I blurted it out. So.
Well, we're going back through the 2017-2018 season, and we've talked a little bit about the regular season. I don't want to talk as much about sub-state because I think everybody knew as much of what was going to happen. Maybe one thing I'll say, the championship game against Ulysses, that was one heck of an atmosphere and an environment. And I had sent you some of the numbers that I had pulled for sub-state games being played at home inside the roundhouse. You had to feel pretty good on Saturday night when you got a packed gym and people are going crazy about a game that you guys really didn't play all that well that night, but beat a Ulysses team that was not a great scoring team and got sort of the bad game out of the way before a really fun week the next week. But what a fun environment that was the entire Saturday night for the girls' game against Ulysses and the boys against Bueller.
Well, it was great to be able to host, you know, the last season of the format that we're currently under. Hopefully we're a high seed and automatically get a host next year. You know, things change. But that atmosphere Saturday night with Ulysses and then the boys playing Bueller, it was fantastic. Packed the gym and it was smoking hot in there, obviously.
Oh, man.
But it was a tremendous environment, and you know, didn't quite match the environment of the following Saturday in Salina. But the roundhouse was definitely special that night.
And one thing we should say about the sub-state, even though you pretty much walked through it, Hayes and Ulysses were state-ranked teams. So there's two state-ranked teams that you eliminated off the board already. People may not realize it, but they were actually top 10 teams. I think they were 7 and 8 or 7.
Or 8 and 9, somewhere in there.
Yeah, they were in the bottom tier. Yep. But that's two state-ranked teams that you eliminated.
Well, we didn't have to play Hayes. Of course, Ulysses knocked them out. But, yeah, two of those teams being gone. And there were a couple other ranked teams that got knocked out in their various sub-states, too. So that kind of took care of some teams. And then we're left with 8.
Well, then as you transition into the state tournament, you guys had the Wednesday, Friday, Saturday set up. And the first game was against Abilene, who was a team that—
Augusta.
Augusta, a team that you guys had really beat down the first time. And it was a team that Steve and I, that night, we went, is this a team that we could see again? And they were ranked, I think, fourth or fifth at the time. And we were a little bit surprised by that. But the transformation that they made in a month and a half, maybe even less after losing to Bueller, I was very impressed with the fight that they showed. But you guys matched that same fight and wouldn't let them get that gap close enough to make it a game and pulled away at the end.
Well, fortunately for us, I think we outscored them by 14 in the first quarter, 22-8 or something like that, and probably hit 5, maybe even 6 threes in the first quarter. So we're going crazy from the perimeter. Because that basically ended up being the final margin. It was 62-48, so we finished winning by 14, and you know, credit to Augusta. They really pounded us inside, did a great job getting the ball where they wanted to go, and we didn't do a very good job of stopping it, to be quite honest. So, but they did greatly improve from when we played them in early January, and they had a couple of bad losses like you referenced. And I think they had some heart-to-hearts apparently, because things changed and they really were playing well. You know, honestly, I didn't know if they would get past – their sub-state with Andover Central and some of the teams that were in their group, but they sure did. And then they really gave us a challenge first round. So Augusta played great.
And then as you got into Friday in the semifinals, you knew that with the best four teams remaining in 4A Division I, Piper, Miege, Labette, and you guys had the full scouting report on all three teams. And so it was just pick up whichever scouting report you need to use for that night, and you drew Labette County. Which I think after the first night, Steve and I were thinking, I think they might rather be playing Piper, because Labette County looked really good in its first game. And obviously when there's a scoring threat like Tristan Gegg, who will be playing at Pitt State, you knew that that would be a tough game. And Piper played a very good game against Miege and gave them a good run in the semifinals. But you knew the scouting report on Labette County. And in my opinion, that was the most complete game that you guys played of the year, where from the start to the finish, you played great defense and locked her down for, you know, locking her down for what, 31 points, which was very impressive defensively, because she was slowed and frustrated, and that's the goal there. But
it took like 25 or 27 shots.
But you had an answer offensively all night long, and the theme of the state tournament was that it was not just Taylor Robertson scoring all the points. You had Lakin Schieffrick step up and play big minutes. You had Emma Ruddle play serious minutes throughout the state tournament. You had Andrea Sweat play really well in that game. Your starters in Riley Hett and Hannah Hageman and Mandy Cooks and Cassie Cooks, everybody contributed in that game. And I thought, all around, best game of the year.
Well, it was definitely it was a great win for us. Labette, you know, with the Gag girl, you never feel like they're totally out of it. But one of my favorite quarters, to be honest, of the entire year, that I've gone back and watched a couple times already, is the third quarter of that Labette game. I believe we were up 5 at halftime. Probably finished the third quarter up by about 14 or so. But the reason I liked it was it proved how balanced we were. I believe that 5, maybe 6 different girls hit threes in that third quarter. And it was movement. It was sharing the basketball. It was penetrations, kicks. It was running the newer offense that we had put in for the second half of the season. It was fantastic. So I thought, you know, you said maybe it may have been our best overall game of that season. It very well could have been. I thought we played great defensively. Gag had 31, but we still played great. We knew she was going to get her points. She's going to shoot 25 or 30 times a game. That's about what she did. We wanted to focus on stopping the others. One of the girls that they had step up and score 10, oddly enough, you might look at that and say, well, geez, how'd she score 10? Well, the answer was, in the third quarter, we were not guarding her intentionally. We had a special defense design, and that was the girl that we were going to let shoot. She hit a couple. She had a couple open layups. So be it. But we were not going to let Gag continue to score 24 of their 30 or whatever she had at halftime. We had to make them do something different because we didn't want a replay of what had happened to us 2 years ago, and that was just not going to happen. So we chose some different things defensively in the second half, and our girls executed things the right way.
We're going to take our final break. We're rolling through today's According to Jim, as we're joined by McPherson High girls coach Chris Strathman. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, it's time to dissect the state championship game against Bishop Miege. We might even listen to Steve's call of him saying the game was over with a dagger. We might even listen to it.
Oh, I don't know.
So stay tuned. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Calabrese Heating and Cooling, Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Farmer State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE. Jim Joyner, Steve Sell here in studio, and we're joined by McPherson High girls coach Chris Strathman as we are recapping the 2017-2018 state championship season. And you can't not recap the season without talking about the state championship game, which was, I guess, a little less than 2 weeks ago as we sit here on March 20th. As we look back to that game, we were joking around with Steve a moment ago and talking about the audio call where Bishop Miege gets the offensive rebound and scores to make it a 9-point lead. With 2.5 minutes to go, he called the dagger and said, oh, that's the game. But I think that the point of that is that's what makes this comeback even more incredible. And the story of this state championship even better, because we've talked about it on air. Bishop Miege is a program. And it's the way they play under the same coach for 42 years. And they don't lose games like that. And that's what makes the final 2.5 minutes of that game so improbable and so exciting. And that's what championship moments are made for.
Well, the replay of that game and the replay of some of your audio stuff has been very entertaining to watch and go back and kind of relive. The fact that, you know, they went up 9 with 2.5 minutes left or whatever, it was very discouraging. You know, it was a big play. You kind of feel like you get a stop, they miss, and then they get a putback. Those things are so deflating. But we answered it right back. The very next possession, probably within 15 seconds of
it was
Steve,
quick.
Of Steve saying the dagger.
Yeah, I did. I said the dagger, yes.
Andrea Sweat just drilled a 3, stepped up with confidence, cut it back to 6, and then right away, mentally, it's like, okay, we got a chance again. And things just happened to play out. They made some mistakes. They took a couple quick shots. But we had to capitalize on our end on those mistakes and misfortune for Miege, and we did every
and
time.
Mandy made a couple real nice – it was almost like Mandy just said – I'm just whatever happens. I'm letting it all go. And she just made a couple of tremendous power moves in that stretch.
Yeah. Well, there was one key moment. Lakin drove, missed. Riley had battled, kept it alive, missed. We get a kick out to Sweat, and the whole crowd stands up because she's open from 3. missed, and Manny gets the put back in one, I think.
Right.
And that was just – the place went bonkers. That was a possession that just showed our team's will and refused to lose. When you get four shots on one possession, you're getting after it. And that was the bottom line. So our kids just showed tremendous fight and poise down the stretch. It was awesome.
And then you get to the possession, the final offensive possession that you guys had in the game. And I can remember in my audio call, I don't know if Taylor had the ball for a moment, but it went to somebody else. And I went, boy, wouldn't she love to hit a three here to tie it. And Lakin Schieffert dribbles to her left, passes into the corner. And Riley Hett, whose three-point numbers would probably surprise a lot of people because she's one of the best, if not the second best, on the team. And she's open, and you could sort of feel everybody stand up. And I had to stand up a little bit to see over the bench. And she knocked down that three. And that is my favorite call from that highlight package because you could just tell the emotion and the energy had completely shifted. And Miege was going to get one more shot. But you knew at that moment, we've got this. And that was sort of a chill-sending moment, at least for Steve. He talks about it all the time.
Well, when I've had a chance to go back and watch it and also listen to your call, it's a chill moment for me, too. Lakin made a great pass, really did, to Riley in the corner. As soon as Riley let it go, I thought it was good. You know, she's right at 40%, maybe just above, which, like you said, may surprise some people. But she hit threes all year for us, especially when she had her feet set. She knocked them down this year. So, good shooter. Looked good coming off her hand. And again, the place just went nuts.
And you played really great defense on that last possession. I think it was Jordan Gonzalez that actually took the last shot, if I remember
right. I think
it
was, too.
And I think if Miege had it in their mind, she would not have been the one to take the shot. You would have thought Johnny Gonzalez was my choice for sure. And if not, maybe get it down inside the Hawthorne and try and draw a foul. But it was Jordan Gonzalez. She missed it. And then they scored the first point of overtime. The lead, though, you never gave it up. And then I thought it was really fitting that Taylor put the game away at the free throw line where, you know, she kind of became famous as, you know, back when she was 8 years old. Going to the free throw line, her free throw prowess. Now, she did miss one, but the problem is she was already crying because she knew you had the game. And then, of course, she composed herself, made the last one for the four-point lead. But that was pretty appropriate that she was the one that really down the stretch put the game away.
Well, it was very appropriate. You know, it was obviously, for our seniors, cool to see Mandy play so well down the stretch. Her minutes were huge. Most minutes she played all year. But then to have Taylor have the ball in her hands at the free throw line where, like you said, that was where her reputation was built long ago. That was very, very appropriate. And just you couldn't have written it any better. For her to need to make one to basically seal it and have Miesha have no chance, it was
I would have bet Steve's paycheck as well.
Yeah. But that's, you know, you beat a Miesha team 18-1 in championship games. Since 1984, the only loss was to McPherson in 97. That was the first of three championships in a row. And I remember that game very well because we had a bunch of young kids that year. I believe we had three sophomores that started. I think we had Ryerson Barrow and James all started.
James, yep. Yeah. Haley Baldwin and Amber Jockin were the other starters. We had one senior on that team. And, of course, that was the start of our own three-peat. So that was pretty special.
But I don't think people realize you beat not only Miege, you beat a Mystique. And, you know, in the back of that mind, you're always thinking, hell, they're Miege. They're Miege. They're going to, you know, they're going to pull something out. But I think that's a game that really, it really got, you know, it gets you over the hurdle in the future, too. If you see, of course, next year, more than likely, we're going to be 5A. They're going to be 4A. You don't know. It just depends how things shake out. But, you know, for one night, you beat that Mystique, and you had to come from way back to do it. But it's something that all these girls and coaches and fans, this will be a game that's not talked about for just a year or two. This is going to be where we were that night 20 years ago when we beat Miege and came back from 9 with 2 minutes to go.
Yeah, it was pretty special. And I think it's been pretty evident in the number of congrats that I've received. I know our players have as well, and our coaching staff, and also messages from other coaches around the state. A lot of people were, for once, cheering for McPherson. usually that's not the case, but guys, I would be remiss if I didn't mention our coaching staff, and I haven't done that yet, and they just did a tremendous job for us this year. Coach Reith, obviously undefeated in JV, 77 wins in a row now, which is just phenomenal for him and Coach Prescott at that level. Coach Ellett also had an undefeated C team season, did a great job. The other thing about Coach Ellett is his project was Miege. Mm-hmm. He had been working on Miege for a couple months, and we had more film stockpiled on them than our girls were allowed to see on huddle. he had things broken down and a lot of work and a lot of time on his part. So just tremendous job of scouting by all of our staff. But Ellett's pet project this year was definitely Miege.
Well, we are running a little bit long on today's According to Jim since we're joined in studio by McPherson High girls coach Chris Strathman. It's funny that we could get through 35 minutes of talking about this season and the state championship run and really hardly mention Taylor Robertson and Mandy Cooks, because we've just had so much to talk about. Those two, in terms of seniors and what you would want out of a senior class, although it's a small senior class, you could just tell that they had it down the stretch in the state championship game, in the game against Labette County. Those two had it, whatever it is. And you could just tell how much that winning meant to them. And you've talked about it all season long, but you could see some of the pictures from Kendall Shaw and his awesome photo album on Facebook, how much winning meant to not only them, but the entire team, as the emotions were just running high on Saturday of the state championship.
Yeah, they're definitely winners, and even if we hadn't come out on top, they're tremendous kids and winners, every single one of them. Those pictures captured the raw emotion as good as they possibly could have, so hats off to Kendall. But back to Taylor and Manny, it's just a tremendous honor to coach them for 4 years. You talk about their will to win. That rubbed off on our other kids, and what gets overlooked sometimes but cannot be understated is the fact that our juniors, sophomores, and our one freshman, they wanted nothing more than to send Taylor and Manny out with a championship. And so when you have leaders like that the other kids care for so deeply, that they would do anything to see them win and come out on top, that's what played so much into the emotion of everything. And knowing everything that Taylor's been through with her father, and knowing everything that Manny went through with her injury and her rehab, our kids just would do anything to see them win. And as coaches, we would do anything to see them win. And it was just a tremendous honor to be a part of that this year.
Well, it was a pretty tremendous season. Any year you get to walk away with a state championship trophy in hand, you get to hang up a new banner inside the roundhouse. Like Steve said, this is a year that a lot of people will remember. We wish the boys could have got it done in their game, because this would have been maybe one of the best years in McPherson High basketball history. I know that you guys were both around for the party like it's 1999. I don't think I was around as much at that point. But this was such a fun year. And when you look at two basketball teams that combined for three losses in the entire year and all three to the same program, I don't know if you could have a much better season. Besides what happened this year, it was such a fun ride.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. You know, the 99 team for us was an undefeated team. The 99 boys, I think, lost one, if I remember right. Matt Robbins and those guys, the seniors, they were great. But here's the difference. You know, we beat Goddard in the girls' game, just blasted them. The boys, I think, beat Casey Washington. Mm-hmm. Does that sound right,
and
Steve?
And routed them.
Great wins. It was awesome to win a dual title like that. This would have been the best, though, because they both would have been against Miege. Yeah. You know, you couldn't have scripted any better than that. So obviously, you know, I really thought the guys even before the game, I thought the guys were going to get it done. And it was so hard to see them come up just short. But, man, they had a great season. And Coach Kinnaman's really proud of his kids, as he should be. They're just a great senior class. They're graduating as well.
Well, we're going to wrap things up here as we're almost 10 minutes long on today's show. But this is the type of stuff that we've got to do for a state championship team. Girls coach Chris Strathman, thanks for coming in today. We really enjoyed this, and I think that we can expect a lot more fun things to come down the road once the winter season starts up again next year.
Yep, should be fun. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, we'll wrap up today's According to Jim. For Steve Sell and for McPherson girls coach Chris Strathman, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll see you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Calabrese Heating and Cooling, Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 1230 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.